Amen. Thank you. We're blessing. That was good. I enjoyed that. Do you ever find yourself, as you read through the scripture, you get into the story so much and you say, don't do it. Even though you know what he's going to do, or she, you know, don't. Now, Uzziah, you know better. Now, you've done so well. You're prospering. You're doing so. Don't do it. You know, I find myself, I mentioned this in Sunday school. By the way, this message was written weeks ago, and my Sunday school lesson. It's amazing how things, messages come, and you know, God. By the way, God is on the throne. I just thought I'd need to remind a few folks about that God is still God. And but I find myself, and I remember when I was in college, and Pastor Taylor was preaching through 2 Samuel, and he came to David's sin. And I remember thinking, David, no way. Don't do it, David. Don't do it. And I still, as I you know, David tarried in Jerusalem, I still pause and I say, David, you are really messing up, buddy. You're really messing up. Samson, same, you know, you watch Samson. He's doing so well. God's blessing him. God's power is on him. And then Samson, now what was Samson? No. And of course here, Uzziah, the Bible says his heart was lifted up. And you know, that is any one of us, anytime his heart was lifted up to his destruction. The preaching against sin is Bible preaching. And you got to preach against sin. Why? Because sin is our enemy. Sin is out to destroy us. And as with Uzziah here, you know, when we get to a place where we somehow think we can do anything, we're at the wrong place. You're headed for trouble. And that's anybody in this room. That's all of us. His heart was lifted up. Father, I pray that you will bless now the preaching of thy word, that you'll speak to our hearts and help us, God, to be humbled by the events of this week. Help us to be humbled by our own sinfulness and to realize we need you. We need you every hour. We need you every minute. We need to walk with you all the time. Please help us, God, to know that and to realize that that pride can ruin any one of us. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. His heart was lifted up. What's that mean? Well, he sought God, verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper, verse 5, the second part. And by the way, notice that God's the one that made him prosper. I mean, Uzziah, you know, he was 16 when he became the king. And he reigned 52 years, but obviously, he was very young, and he recognized God was making him a great king. And the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, I tell you this, folks, as long as you seek the Lord, God's going to bless you. Amen. There is no question about that. Okay, as long as we seek the Lord, God is going to make us to prosper. God is going to bless us. And the Bible says in verse 16, and I only skipped this because there's a lot of things in there, but verse 16 is really what I want to talk about, when he was strong. So Uzziah, all these years, he has sought God, he's begged God to help, he's wept, but then he decided, you know what, maybe I don't need God's help like I used to. Maybe I can do this on my own. And that is pride. Amen. And by the way, that's what brings every one of us down. When we somehow think, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. That always brings us down. I don't care who it is, from a pastor all the way through the congregation to any member of the church. If we think somehow anything good that's happened is because of us, or if we think somehow we can tell God what we're going to do, you can't do it.
Amen.
You cannot do it. Nobody can. It doesn't matter. And the Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction. He goes into the temple. He transgresses against the Lord. He goes against God's word. He says, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what my emotions say to do. Whatever inspired him, whatever led him to do that, he goes in and he's in big trouble. Bible says in verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth anger has now taken. What these guys are trying to tell him he's doing wrong. They're trying to help him. But instead, he becomes wroth with them. God says, that's it. By the way, God is the one who says that's it in every one of our lives. But it's pride. Pride. His heart was lifted up. Over and over, the scripture gives us illustration after illustration of man's pride. Man's pride will keep him from salvation. Man's pride. How many people, you know, they won't get saved because they have to admit they're a sinner. You ever go soul winning, you'll run into somebody sometime that looks at you like, are you crazy? When you say, you know, the Bible says we've all sinned. Right. It's like they can't believe you would. How dare you tell me that I'm a sinner? You know, it'll keep us from salvation. Our pride will keep us from serving God. You know, that job is below me. I'm too good to do that. Do you know that most church work, there's not a whole lot of glamour in it, really? I mean, there's not a lot of glamour in going to the fair tent and winning people to Christ. It's not glamorous. It's not something I didn't see our pictures in the paper. You know, I mean, you can show a pig and get your picture in the paper, but leads a soul to Christ, and well, you know, there's not a lot of glamour. But that's why we do it. But about time you start thinking that, look what I've done. Satan kicks in and says, well, since you've done so much, you certainly cleaning and doing that kind of work, that's well above you. Soul winning, that's, you know, let others do that. You're such an important person. You see, it keeps us from serving God. And pride will keep us from serenity. Salvation, service, serenity, that's not the message. I'm just giving you that as kind of a commercial. But you know what? There is no peace in pride.
Amen.
The most miserable people in the world are proud people. God has to remind us. That's why we have Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, yes, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. He has to remind us over and over again through the scriptures what we are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One time a woodpecker was pecking at a tree, and just if you've ever watched a woodpecker, it's amazing how fast their little heads can go. Brrr, you know, it's amazing. And this woodpecker's pecking on the tree, and all of a sudden a storm came up, and lightning hit the tree, and the tree fell down. And the woodpecker said, look what I did. Pride will get us in a lot of trouble. And you know, Uzziah fell here because of pride. He's doing so well. You know, and you get to verse 5 and you think, wow, boy, what a blessing. Look at this. He sought God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. God's blessing him. And then he became strong. So strong. What's it mean? One day he got up, he looked in the mirror, and he said, look at me. He got up and he looked around at the kingdom, and he said, wow, look what I've done. And he became strong. And the biggest problem with all that is, you know what, I think I can make it without you, God. I think I can go on. I think I can build this thing. I think I can, I can do it without you. Remember the first time you sang in front of people, you were terrified? Amen. Well, then what the biggest danger of doing anything like that is the second time you feel a little better about it. The third time you feel a little bit better. The fourth time, but that first time you begged God. That first time you begged, oh God, don't let me mess up. God, I want to be a good testimony. I want the song to be a blessing. And I need to hit this note, and it's, and I don't know if I can hit that note, God. Please, God, you got to help me. And that first time, you know, it's such a blessing because God helped you. But boy, you've now done it 20 times, and people have said how wonderful it is. And you say, you know what, I really can sing. And you know what? You're going to be a bigger flop then, because we need to keep seeking God. Let me give you some things here today that I think will be a help as we think about his heart was lifted up. Number one, we see some examples of pride. Examples of pride. You know, it all starts in Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Satan, of course, is the epitome of pride. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will. Notice, I will ascend into heaven. Notice the next thing. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Notice the third thing. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the crowds. I will be like the Most High. I will. The epitome of pride. I want what I want, and I don't care what he wants. That's the epitome. Look, if that is your attitude, if that's your thought process, if that's what's going on in your life, it is as old as Satan himself. It's pride. Amen. It's pride. It is the thing that brings us down so often. I will. Why do we sin? Why did we do what we did? I can't believe I did. The reason we do that is because we think we got it all figured out better than he does. God says, thou shalt not. God says, thou shalt. We say, yeah, but here's what I think. I will, I will, I will. Satan. Naaman's a good example of pride. Naaman has leprosy, comes to the man of God, and the man of God says, here's what you do, and you will no longer have leprosy. Well, what am I supposed to do? You need to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman said, no way. There is no way. The Jordan River is dirty. Hey, Naaman, have you ever thought about how dirty your leprosy is? You know, leprosy, study leprosy sometime, and it's nasty. It not only the sores are broken open and pus and goo is oozing out of them, but you not only that, it stinks. Good picture of sin, isn't it? Sin stinks too, and it's nasty. And so Naaman says, no, wait a minute, Naaman, do you want to be free of the leprosy? Well, yeah, but I don't want to go dip in the Jordan River. What about the Abana and the Pharpar rivers in my country? They're clean rivers. No. By the way, that's one of the biggest problems we have out soul winning is people want to not, they don't want to hear, I'm a sinner. Come on. That's our nation today. Nobody wants to hear, oh, you're hurting people's feelings, telling them they're sinners. No, listen to me. They need to know they're a sinner so that they know they need a Savior. There is no way around it. We've got to say, hey, it's the Jordan River. You can't whitewash it, folks. We can't whitewash it as a nation. We can't whitewash the fact that we're sinners. And Naaman, you know, finally, his people that loved him convinced him, hey, man, if you want to be free of your leprosy, if you want to be healed of this thing, then you're going to have to do it the way the man of God says. Yes, praise the Lord. And he did. And he was healed. Uzziah here, God made him strong. God blessed him. God prospered him. But when he became strong, he became proud. When he became strong, his heart was lifted up, the Bible says. His heart was lifted up, and it was lifted away from God. His heart, which had many times he'd poured out his heart to God. Oh, God, I don't know how to make this decision. Oh, God, I don't know how to do this thing. Oh, God, I'm a teenager and I'm the king. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, God, please, you got to help me. I need your help, God. And that heart began to get away from God and began to start to think, you know what, you're a pretty good guy. You're pretty tough. You're pretty strong. You're pretty good yourself. You know what? Maybe you don't need God after all. We know that with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Thou art the head of gold. And Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, yeah, I am. I really am the head of gold, aren't I? I really am a big shot. I really am the greatest king. I really am on top. Boy, you better believe it. And he became like a beast for 7 years, like an animal chained up in the backyard. King Nebuchadnezzar. Some examples of pride, and there are so many in the scripture. Number two, we see an exhibition of pride. Exhibition. How is it shown up? How do we see pride in our lives? How is it? What kind of pride? Number one is pride of name. Pride of name, who you are. Who you are. Boy, there's so much pride like that. Pride of name. Let me say, you know, well, my relatives came over on the Mayflower. My relative was a deacon. My relative was a pastor. Do you know that all of us are descendants of Adam? And the truth of the matter is, okay, let's say you're great, 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 great. Oh, I got to get enough greats in here. I don't know. I'm not a history major. Brother Chase, how many greats do I need to get back to the Mayflower? You think about it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, he's calculating. I know he is. Anyway, great, 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 great. Grandpa came over on the Mayflower. You didn't have anything to do with that. What'd you have to do with that? What'd you have to do with well, my great, great, great grandpa was a deacon in the church. And what do you have to do with that? Nothing. By the way, that is why racial prejudice is so ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous for anybody to think they're better than anybody else because of anything. Whether it's because you have hair or you don't have hair. You don't have anything to do with that. I certainly don't have anything to do with that. Hello. Skin color? I don't know. People say white. My shirt's white. I don't know what I... Well, you say flesh tone, but I know people with flesh tone that's black. Thank you. You need to keep counting your greats. Folks, honestly, it is so ridiculous. Do you understand? If you go back in your Bible and you believe your Bible, we all come from one place, and what's that? Dirt. Just good old dirt. You know, God scoops up some dirt. Check out the chemicals that it takes to make you and I. It ain't much. Just dirt. Huh? Yeah. How is some dirt better than other dirt? Okay, but a pride of name. You know, my Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all equal here. Everybody. How can we ever think, well, because I am this, because I, you know, I came from this and I'm a descendant of this, or I'm a certain color. What? Listen to me. You need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Amen. I came from, we started a church in a place where because I grew up in this city or because I went to this church or because I did this or I did that, and it was all circumstantial. It was just how they grew up. It's where they were. It's what country they were from, whatever. You know, we think we're better. You're not. Nobody is any better than anybody else. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Exhibition of pride, pride of name. How about this? Pride of aim. Pride of name is who you are. Pride of aim is what you are.
Well, I'm going to build my body up.
Why? Now, if you just want to be healthy, be healthy. That's good. But, I had a pastor friend, and this guy was a successful pastor in Ohio. And this guy was doing a great work, and he took a church and did a great work. And then he started weightlifting, Brother Chase. You probably don't know. Most people, you know, I doubt that you would know him. But this has been years ago. And he started weightlifting. And he started doing the thing that a lot of, you know, looking in the mirror and oiling up.
You know? I'm gonna oil up.
But see, I stuff like that just, you know, well, and they have all those mirrors so you can see every little ripple, you know. My ripples are rolls, but anyway, this guy, and it's so sad because this pastor, he's a great man. He started entering into these contests and stuff as a bodybuilder, and you know, I haven't seen him since, but he resigned his church to go be a bodybuilder.
I'm gonna oil up.
He needs the oil of the Holy Spirit of God is what he needs on his life, and let God use him in a great way. But again, what you are. Okay, why? Why? What is your aim? The Bible says this. Says, do all to the glory of God. Now, I don't understand. You know, I'm not mad at you if you want to be healthy and everything, but I don't understand how that brings God any glory because your bicep's huge. Whoa. Anyway, but scared myself there. But do all to the glory of God. Okay, aim. What is it?
Well, I've got three cars.
Okay, why do you have three cars? That's the question. Aim. What is your plan? What is your aim?
Well, I got a couple of boats.
Okay, how many can you be on at once? Again, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, look at your life. Look at yourself. Find out why you wear what you wear. You know, are you trying to impress people or are you just trying to look nice? I mean, again, to give glory to God, or are you trying to impress people? Do all, the Bible says, to the glory of God. Everything we do. Everything I do. Is it going to bring God glory or is it going to bring God shame? That's the key to it. Pride of name, who you are. Pride of aim, what you are. The third thing is pride of fame. That's where you are, your position. Why? You know, well, I want to move up in work so that people know that I'm a great guy. Why? Why? You know, you ought to want to move up in work because you're doing the best of anybody because you're God's kid.
Amen.
You know, do all to the glory of God. And we ought to be the best workers. And we ought to be the people that folks say, wow, you know, that person's different because they're a Christian. Fame. Why do you want to be fame? Why do you want to be famous? Why do you, you know, why do you study? I want to get a doctorate so I can show everybody how smart I am. Or do you want to get a doctorate so that you can show everybody how great God is?
Amen.
You see, there's such a difference there. And again, you have to decide. You know, why do you serve God? You know, oh, I like the limelight. I like people. Then you need to get out. You know, why should we? You should be just as comfortable serving God, cutting down weeds in the backyard as you are up in front of somebody singing. I resigned the church in Flint. And had about a not quite a year, but almost a year not pastoring. And we went to a little church right up the road from where we lived, and a good Baptist church there. And we went there, and they had weeds in the ditch. Huge. I mean, nobody messed with these weeds, and they're in a ditch. And the ditch had a little bit of about that much water and mud and stuff, and down in this. And those weeds were driving me nuts. And so David and I took our weed eaters, and we went out, and we attacked the weeds. Somebody said, how could you, I mean, you were a pastor. You had a good-sized church. Why? Listen to me. Serving God can be behind here, or it can be mowing grass.
Amen.
I had somebody, they've since left here, but I had somebody, one time I was trimming around the church here. And I'm kind of picky about trimming. And I was doing some trimming and stuff and mowing and stuff. And the person stopped out there and he said, looked at me, and I wasn't wearing a tie because I was afraid he'd get caught in the trimmer. And you can die. So he looks at me and he says, I don't think the pastor ought to be trimming. And I tried to hand him the trimmer. You know what? Listen to me. What are we thinking? Pride, pride, pride. One time a lawyer asked a farmer, he said, why don't you hold your head up? Lawyer said, I don't bow before anyone. And the farmer looked at him and he said, you see the field of grain out here? The empty heads of grain stand up. The full heads bow low. I like that. And you know, who in the world do we think we are? Pride of claim, what you do. See, there's a pride of name, pride of aim, pride of fame, pride of claim, what you do. Uzziah, you know, when he was strong. Wait a minute. Who did it, Uzziah? Who did it? Do you really think when we get to heaven, and we are going to get to heaven, amen, if you're saved, we are going to heaven. Do you really think somehow when we get there, we're going to cross through those pearly gates and we're going to walk on the street of gold and we're going to say, look what I did? Do you really think we're going to do that? I promise you it will be like this. Oh, let me see Jesus. He's why I'm here. And we breathe in that celestial air. And we say, woohoo! No more sorrow. No more sin. No more darkness. I'm in heaven's glory. Where's Jesus? Come on, folks, honestly. Do we really somehow think we've done anything? Yeah. By the way, you say, well, you know, I've kept my job and I've worked hard and I've moved up. But who gave you the job? Who gave you the health to do the job? Who opened the doors? Who kept you there? Who worked things out? You know, I'm not trying to diminish a guy doing his very best. I'm just saying, to God be the glory. And Uzziah became strong, but he only became strong because his heart, or he became strong because God blessed him and prospered him, and he fell because his heart got away from saying, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. And he decided, you know what, I can do whatever I want to do. Pride of name, aim, fame, claim, then pride of blame. That's what you don't do. It's like this, Adam is confronted by God. Adam, what have you done? You've sinned. Pride of blame, the woman. God, the woman. It's the woman. Blame. Want to blame everybody else. Average church in America is full of people that just, you know, it's like, what's their fault? Oh, my kid, that's Brother Varnum's fault. Actually, it goes back before that. It's Brother Dave's fault. Actually, it goes back before that. It's the nursery worker's fault. Yeah. Well, it's a relative's fault. You know, it's just always Adam. It all started with Adam, you know, or the woman. By the way, you know, it's interesting with Adam. He says something that I can't imagine saying to God. It's the epitome of pride. The woman thou gavest me. Oh, wait a minute, who are you blaming, Adam? By the way, folks, isn't that really where it ultimately goes when things don't go the way we think they should? Doesn't it ultimately go to God? God, this is your fault? You know, you ever been mad because it rained on your picnic? I know we like rain, but there have been times we didn't. You ever been mad when it snowed on your picnic in May in Michigan? I mean, have you ever been, honestly, wait a minute, oh, I can't believe it's raining. Okay, well, just tell him. The weatherman. No. You may say the weatherman, but you, deep down, you're saying, God, this is your fault. How about a tornado? Yeah. How about a hurricane? How about an earthquake? Yeah. Pride of blame. By the way, it didn't stop with Adam. He said the woman. Eve said, the serpent. Right? That's pride. If you did it, admit it, go on. Just okay. You know? The woman, the serpent, not me, them. It's them, not me. Always looking for some way, them. Couldn't possibly be me. It had to be them. That's why, thank God for a Bible that shows us the truth. I'm so glad for the Bible. I thank God over for the truth of the Word of God, because we do sin. Now here's the question you should always ask when something doesn't work. Did I sin? Did I? Is this because of my sin? Oh, I just can't believe all this is going on. I'm so mad and God doesn't have to. Did you sin? Then get right with God and move on. Amen. Just, you got to move on. Okay, get right with God. That's what David did. Did I sin? It's a good question. You know, but we're so quick. Well, it's Brother Chase's fault. I'll blame Brother Tim. It's his fault. You know, did I sin? So important. So important. Examples of pride. Exhibition of pride. Number 3 is an examination of pride. Look at it. Proverbs 6. Go to Proverbs. And we're on the back page. We're moving. Proverbs 6. You say, why do you say that? Well, I just want to encourage you. I hear your guts growling. Though if you were in the college and career class, you should have no reason to have your guts growling. I smelled your pancakes. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. Well, I appreciate the Letsons and the Nixons with that class, and what a blessing. And you, I hope the class appreciates them, and that you'll take them out to eat with the pastor. I mean, Proverbs 6 and verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Look what it says, a proud look. You see that? A proud look right away. You ever see a proud look? I feel so sorry for God because he sees it often. That's what he saw with Uzziah here. I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Leprosy is not a fun thing. God hates it. Do you hear it? He hates it. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. He hates it. Absolutely hates it. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. He hates it. Proverbs 16 and verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Wow. That's powerful. You know, I know we want to whitewash it and say, well, you know, I'm not so bad. God says it's an abomination to him. Why? Because you deep down, it is a matter of exactly what it says. His heart was lifted up. It's now I can do it, and it means I don't need you, God. I don't need you, God. I can do it. I don't need your rules. I don't need your Bible. I am smarter. I can do this. Proverbs 21, verse 4. And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. God hates pride. What else happens? Job 35, verse 12. Job 35 and verse 12. We're doing an examination of pride. Job 35, verse 12. The Bible says, there they cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. Do you understand that pride hinders prayer? They cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. It's a hindrance to prayer. I mean, let's be honest. When we have pride, are we really praying anyway? Because pride is to say, you know what, I really don't need God. So in other words, we maybe go through the motions. I don't know if God likes us going through the motions. God wants us to really talk to him. But he wants us to depend on him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him without faith. It hinders prayer. God hates it. It hinders prayer. It hinders our blessings. Naaman? I mean, Naaman, you can be a leper or you can be cleansed. Period. You have a choice. You can be a leper or you can be clean. Uzziah, you can keep praising the Lord and seeking God, and as long as you seek the Lord, you'll prosper. But hey, I ask you a question. Do you desire the blessing of God on your life? Do you want God to bless your life? Oh, no, I'm pretty smart. I went to high school and I got a bachelor's degree. I'm pretty smart myself. I can do. Do you want God to bless your life? See, our problem, we watch the world out here and wicked people, and we see them with success, and we somehow get the idea, well, they can do it without God, so can I. I'm telling you, Uzziah got that idea and ended up a leper. And everybody in the scripture, when your heart is lifted up against God, and let me just say this to you, if in fact the world has success, and so-and-so makes $1 million or $2 million or $3 million, whatever he may do, and he may be a business tycoon or he may be an executive in some large corporation, but if he dies and goes to hell, is that a success? It's not. It's not. And so he can be just as proud as he wants. It's certainly not going to end with success. Pharaoh said this, "Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him?" Well, Pharaoh, you and your army is going to drown in the Red Sea. And Moses and his people are going to walk across on dry ground. Who is the Lord? He'll show you. The blessings of God. The blessings of God. Yeah, pride causes death. The wages of sin is death. Something always dies when there's pride. Something always dies, as Pharaoh saw. Examination of pride. We've seen examples of pride. Exhibition of pride. Examination of pride. The last thing is to exit from pride. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Exit from pride. Now, I'm going to tell you, there, probably anybody in this room, this might be our biggest problem right here. I say that a lot. This might be the biggest problem because we have a lot of problems. But this is a problem for us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. It happens like this. A person gets up and maybe preaches or teaches a lesson or whatever. It could be a college student that comes and we have him preach. Or it could be an assistant. Could be myself. Could be anybody gets up and preaches or sings a song or something like that. And people say, "That is by far the very best I've ever heard in my life." Really? Wow. You know, and all of a sudden, you're pretty good. And I'm telling you, it could happen to anybody. Could be a bus captain. Could be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe the class grows and grows and grows. And it could be the Nixons and the Letsons. The class grows and grows. Everybody, boy, they're fired up and everything. And wow, it's Brother Nixon's lesson. It had to be. Dolores is saying, "No, it's my pancakes." It has to be. Really, seriously, you know what it is? It's him. Anything that we do, we're dirt. That's what the Bible said. It's where we come from. We're nothing without him. John the Baptist, yeah. "Without me, you're nothing, John." We're nothing without him. We're nothing. We're zero. And so, 1 Peter 5, 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Humble yourselves. You know, if there's any exaltation, God can do it. Isn't that the best thing? You know, the Olympics is going on right now, and it seems to be a pretty big thing, and somebody stands up there, and they're the gold medal person, and their flag is dropped down, and their national anthem is played, and that's a wonderful thing and everything. But someday in heaven, we're going to do something that puts that to shame. At the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be rewards given out that we can't even begin to imagine. We can't even, I mean, if you think that's a lot of hoopla, you think those fireworks are something, you think all that is spectacular. I got news for you. At the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be far bigger than that. And just like Peter says here, God knows how to exalt. He knows how to lift you up. He knows how to build you up. He knows exactly what he needs to do. You just keep humble before him. Psalm 138, verse 6, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." That's a powerful verse right there. You say, "I just don't have a very close walk with God. I'm not sure what's wrong." Maybe you just need that humility when you come to him. Appreciate Brother Darrell White. He's cleaning for us in the office area, and because he's not working right now, and he does a good job. And he said to me, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I was in your back office. A lot of people don't know I have a back office." And He said, I was in your back office and I noticed your fleece that you have. And I have my fleece on my couch. And he said, you know, and I've had other people ask me, why don't you have your fleece down on the floor? And I said, because I like to kneel at the couch and put my head on my fleece. And I was thinking about all the tears. There's no big shot here. There's no thought of that. There is, and by the way, there should never be. Not with any of us, because we're all sinners. We all need him desperately. Understand this, some pride can be good. I'm proud to be an American. There's some shame nowadays that comes with that, but I'm still proud to be an American. There's a good kind of a pride. There's a proud to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed of my Christianity. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. I want everybody to know I'm a Christian. The Chick-fil-A thing, you know, I'm not sure it's necessarily a stand that I'm a Christian, but it can be. And we had some Christian people that went and said, look, I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of it. The day's coming where they're going to point fingers and say, you're a Christian? And you want people to know? Well, go back to the New Testament. Those were those days. You follow Jesus? Are you kidding me? There's nothing wrong with being proud to be a Christian as long as we know that we're a Christian because of him and not because of anything we did. It's a pride that keeps your chin up, not your nose. It's a good kind of a pride. But understand this, you know, what are your goals? Are your goals to please God or to please man? And that would include yourself. What are my goals? We hear it all the time. You know, well, you ought to just please yourself. That is so ungodly. Amen. Help me out here. That's ungodly. Well, as long as you're happy at the end of the day that you pleased yourself, that's ungodly. That's humanism.
Amen.
It's wrong. It's not in the Bible. It sounds cute, but it's not right. You know what our goal should be? God, I just want to please you.
Amen.
I want to please you. Walking with God brings humility. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know what I find? I find as I walk with God that I'm wrong. You're wrong every day? Yeah, pretty much. Well, God, here's what I was thinking. Just walk with him a little while. Your thinking will change. Read your Bible. Your thinking will change. Walk with God. Prayer, Bible reading, devotional time. Know your faults. Here's how you get out of problems. Know your faults. Someone said this, the greatest fault, I should say, is to be conscious of none. You say, why? Well, you know, I can't think of anything I do wrong. Well, that right there was wrong. So now dig a little deeper. Walk with God. Honestly, if all I did was walk with Brother Chase, for example, he and I would both feel like we're pretty good folks. Because I might see his blemish and say, I don't have that blemish. And then he looks at my bald head and says, well, I don't have that bald head. And we both walk away thinking, I'm better than he is. When you walk with God, you know you've never arrived.
Amen.
When you walk with God and you spend time with God, you always leave the conversation with, help me be better, God. I need your help.
Amen.
To be better. Please don't be a person whose heart is lifted up in any area of your life, any area of our lives. We need to keep our heart right with our God. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. Keep seeking the Lord, walk with the Lord, and let God lead and guide in our lives so that our heart is never lifted up. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you have one of these forms of pride, one of these things we talked about. Maybe you have a pride that is keeping you from being saved today. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come and make any decision that you need to make. How many would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all? I want to pray for you. We won't embarrass you. Is there someone who'd say, "Preacher, I am a Christian. I'm saved, but God's speaking to my heart about something in my life today. Please pray for me." Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Father, bless the invitation now and have your will in your way. Help us to yield to you always, to never think we've got it figured out because we're smarter, we're stronger, we're better, we're more equipped. God, help us to realize, God, that you're God, and we need to humble ourselves before you. And let us humble ourselves now during this invitation and make any decisions we need to make. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.